Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
This special bonus episode of the Sheridan Tapes was made possible by our supporters on Patreon. Keely Wood, Healing with Marcus, Soap, and Christy Williams. If you'd like to support the show as well, please go to patreon.com/homesteadcorner. For as little as $1 a month, you get early access to ad-free versions of episodes, a special weekly behind-the-scenes podcast, and patron-only AMA live streams. We've also started a Ko-fi page if you want to spread a little holiday cheer but don't feel like signing up for a monthly membership. If we raise $1,000 there by the end of Season 2, we'll release an extra bonus episode of B-Sides to celebrate. Check it out at ko-fi.com/homesteadcorner. Anna, hi, listen, are you sure you told them the right place? I've been here for what, like, 20 minutes? Only 20 minutes? Jeez, Ainsley. I haven't seen any sign of him. Is he... No, I'm not saying you would. I'm just... Right, fine. I'll wait a little longer. Yeah, you too. Where the heck are they? I know this is a blind date, but aren't I supposed to actually see them at some point? I mean... Oh, hello.
Hello.
That's my spot.
Your spot?
I was waiting for someone there.
Waiting? Seems you've found someone, I'd say.
Okay, Yoda. But seriously, I'm supposed to meet up with someone here.
Exactly here.
Yeah, exactly here. See, look, Griffith Observatory, edge of space, mezzanine, right next to the observing telescopes, 6 p.m. sharp.
Huh, I guess so. Here, you can have your spot back.
Thanks.
So, who are you waiting for?
Oh, blind date. A friend of mine set it up.
Seems they're running late then.
Well, Anna said they're usually pretty busy, and that they have a tendency to forget about things.
Really? What else did... Anna? What else did she say about them?
Well, not much, really. Just enough to get me interested, I'm guessing.
And what's that?
Well, that they love astrophysics, mostly. And that they're one of the smartest people she knows, so... Yeah, I figured it was worth a shot.
Is that high praise, do you think? Coming from her, I mean.
Mostly. I'm not really sure. We don't really know each other that well. We just reconnected the last time she was in New York.
You're from back east?
Oh, yeah, Rochester. You?
Florida. Actually grew up pretty close to Cape Canaveral.
No way.
Yeah. Spent most of my childhood watching shuttle launches. Sparked a bit of a lifelong obsession, to be honest.
God. Ever get to see one up close?
Only after they were retired. Saw Atlantis at Kennedy Space Center a few times before I moved out here, and I stop by to see Endeavor whenever I feel like risking downtown traffic. You?
Enterprise.
Oh, now I'm jealous. Always wanted to see that one.
Well, don't turn green on me. I only got to see it from across the harbor. The Intrepid was closed for renovations when I came to visit.
Still, to boldly go, right?
I guess. To be honest, I always thought it was a bit of a misnomer.
Really?
Well, you think Enterprise, you think long journeys into the far reaches of space, right? You think of that.
A giant photo of the Virgo cluster?
Possibilities. Billions of stars and trillions of planets just waiting to be explored. Even if half of them did end up looking like Vasquez rocks. And the shuttle program never even got out of orbit. Did you know it was supposed to be part of a bigger space program?
I think I've heard that.
I mean, we could have had astronauts on Mars by 1983. We could have had nuclear rockets going back and forth from the moon by now, for crying out loud. And what do we have? Billionaires throwing cars into the depths of space? Internet satellites? Come on.
I guess that's as big as people can dream right now.
Look at where we're standing. They could clearly dream bigger.
People can dream as big as they like. It's actually facing that bigness they have trouble with. And you don't get much bigger than all of that.
I guess not. Still, I wish I could have seen that future.
Hey, you still might.
You're right. Maybe I could tow some rich guy's roadster into space for him someday.
No, I mean, things change. People change. They just need to see what's possible. That's why I love this place so much.
Fair enough. I just like it because all my favorite movies were filmed here.
No, that's good. We love what we love for our own reasons. Or no reason at all. It's all the same. I mean, in the grandest scheme, none of it really matters anyway.
Doesn't it?
Nothing we can directly affect. I mean, here, try this telescope.
Okay, what am I looking at here?
Space.
Oh, very funny.
No, really. That's what it looks like from Earth. A blank, empty section of space between the Virgo and Leo constellations. So small, you can cover it up with one fingertip.
Sure as hell doesn't look empty to me.
Exactly. You're seeing a massive, blown-up image of the Virgo cluster, the center of which is nearly 54 million light-years from Earth. There are at least 1,300 galaxies scattered throughout it, so bright that the intergalactic medium between them glows with diffused starlight. Each of those galaxies is home to at least hundreds of millions of stars, billions of planets, and potentially thousands of worlds able to support life.
Okay, space is very, very big and very, very empty. You know, I did actually take Astronomy 101 when I was in college.
No, that's just the thing. It's not empty. It just seems that way because we can't see or affect it at the proper scale. It's packed to the gills. It's bursting with matter and energy and probably full of life forms whose very existence would be horrifyingly incomprehensible to us. But for all that, we haven't found a single piece of evidence for extraterrestrial life anywhere. Which, to me, says that even with a 360-degree view of the universe out to the cosmological horizon, we've yet to find a civilization capable of changing even a tiny piece of their galaxy enough for us to notice. So, ultimately,
nothing we do matters. The universe doesn't care.
Why should it? It didn't ask for us to be here. And there are a near infinite number of cosmic phenomena out there that could destroy the Earth too quickly for us to realize. And as far as we know, no one out there would even notice our absence if they did.
I bet you're really fun at parties, aren't you?
Actually, I am. Sorry. It's just big picture stuff has a tendency to make me a little existential.
So what's the point, then?
What do you mean?
Well, if nothing we do matters, if it's all gonna end in tragedy no matter what, then why should I bother? Why am I waiting here to meet someone? Why was I actually hoping I might have a chance with this person? Nobody's going to remember it happened, much less care, so what's the point?
Look around. What do you see?
Huh? Oh, well, the lower floor of Griffith Observatory, the meteorite exhibit, and the scale model of the solar system. A bunch of kids and tourists running around and poking at things they probably shouldn't. And someone taking a selfie with the Einstein statue. Now that's original.
A moment. You're seeing a moment. One that happens and vanishes as quickly as it's observed. And another, and another, and another. Each passing so quickly that you don't even notice it happening. Time. Marching endlessly from future to past, with us stuck in the middle. Yet, every moment of it was real. And in some ways, still is. Space is so huge and distant that we can't even hope to touch our nearest stars. But time, being in this moment, here and now, that's even more of a miraculous feat. We're here. We were here. We'll forever be here. And as far as we know, no one will ever be able to touch this moment again. It belongs to you and I alone. And that has to count for something.
I'm sorry, but are you Ren?
Guilty as charged. Adam.
Buzz off. Why didn't you just say that to start with?
I don't get out of the office much. I've got to make my own fun when I do. Sorry for the, slight existential dread there.
No, it's fine. That was actually, it was really kind of beautiful. In a weird sort of way.
You know, I think that's the nicest compliment I've ever received. Pleasure to meet you, Adam Ainsley.
Charmed, I'm sure. You want to get out of here? The crushing weight of eternity is getting to be a bit much for me.
Lead the way.
The Sheridan Tapes, B-Sides, Space. Starring Sam Taylor as Dr. Ren Park and Trevor Van Winkle as Adam Ainsley, with original music by Jesse Hagen. Written by Trevor Van Winkle and produced by Trevor Van Winkle and Virginia Spots, and made possible by our supporters on Patreon and Ko-fi. Visit thesheridantapes.com to view additional content, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and connect with us on Twitter at Sheridan Tapes and on Instagram at The Sheridan Tapes. Season 2 begins January 21st, 2021 on Patreon, and January 22nd on all podcasting platforms. I'm Trevor Van Winkle, this is Homestead on the Corner, and you're listening to The Sheridan Tapes. Thank you.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.